is a reading of the book Simplicity Parenting with additional comments from the author. That's me, Kim John Payne. We're actually up to chapter one now of called Why Simplify, and it begins with the opening words of Sarah Suzanka, who was the author of The Not So Big Life. And here's what Sarah says. We're facing an enormous problem in our lives today. It's so big we can hardly see it, and it's right in front of our face all day, every day. We're all living two big lives, cramped from top to toe with activities, urgencies, and obligations that seem absolute. There's no time to take a breath, no time to look for the source of the problem. Interesting words there from Sarah. That seems to nutshell so much. So chapter one. James was about 8 years old and entering third grade when I met his parents. Lovely and very bright people. James's mother was a professor and his father was involved in city government. They were worried about their son having trouble sleeping at night and his complaints of stomach aches. An 8-year-old boy is fairly well designed to be a picky eater, but James' pickiness was getting extreme. His stomach aches came and went, but they didn't seem to really relate to food. Both parents spoke proudly of how confidently James could speak with adults, but acknowledged that he had trouble connecting with his peers. He avoided things that he felt might be dangerous, and had only very recently learned to ride a bike. "And don't forget the driving thing," his mother mentioned. James's father explained that whenever they drove someplace, James would be the self-appointed policeman in the back seat, letting them know that when they were even 1 or 2 miles above the speed limit, scanning the road ahead for concerns of any behavior. The term backseat driver didn't come close to describing his behavior, and you can imagine how relaxing these road trips were. As I got to know the family, I noticed how much their daily family lives were coloured by world issues. Both parents were avid news followers. The television was often on and tuned to CNN or some other news station. Whether they were directly focused on it or not, politically and intellectually oriented, they would discuss issues at great length, particularly environmental concerns. From an early age, James had been listening to these conversations. His parents were proud of his knowledge. They felt that they were raising a little activist, a citizen of the world, quote unquote, who would grow up in an informed and concerned way. James's understanding of global warming seemed to rival Al Gore. That much was apparent. James was also clearly becoming a very anxious little fellow. His parents and I worked together on simplification regimes. We made some changes in the home environment and greatly increased the sense of rhythm and predictability in their daily life patterns. But our primary focus was cutting back James's involvement in his parents' intellectual lives and his access to information. How much information was pouring into the house and into James's awareness? Instead of 3 computers in the house, his parents decided to keep 1 in the den of the master bedroom. After much discussion, they actually removed both televisions from the home. They felt this might be harder on them than it would be on James, and they wanted to test their theory. If there were to be sacrifices, they wanted to bear their share of them. They also realized that the TVs had become mainly a source of background noise in their homes. Would they be missed or not? Would computer gaming that they were also removing minimize the screens throughout the house? I was most impressed, however, by the commitment they made to changing very ingrained habits. Quite bravely, I thought, they aimed to keep their discussion of politics, their jobs and their concerns to a time when James went to bed. This was hard to do at first, as they'd reminded each other frequently to refrain from talking about these things while James was still awake. But the change became second nature. The quality of their nightly talks intensified, and both parents came to really appreciate this time together because it was exclusively theirs. James's parents noticed changes within him within the first couple of weeks. His level of anxiety went down, his sleep improved. He started coming up with ideas for projects and things to do that wouldn't have interested him previously. It was spring, the weather was outstanding. Was that it? His parents wondered. At first, they weren't sure, but the trend continued. He was definitely mucking around more, getting involved in building things, catching lizards, digging holes. Within 3 or 4 weeks' time, James's teacher also reported changes in him. As his play life expanded, his pickiness about food waned. He started interacting with some of the other kids in the neighborhood, particularly one of them who he formed a friendship and it blossomed. I've stayed in contact with his family, and the friends James made when he was going on 9 have remained lifelong buddies. The boys are in their early 20s now, still close and very supportive of each other. Was all of this directly attributed to James's family life and the changes they made? Was it the lack of TV, less talk of global warming? Can we point to any one thing that made a real difference? My answer to that would be no and yes. I don't think there was any one thing, any magic bullet that obliterated James's nervousness and continued to sort of fuel his controlling behaviors. But the steps taken to protect James's childhood definitely had an effect on him and his parents, an effect greater than the sum of their parts. James's family environment was altered. Both the landscape and the emotional climate of their daily life together changed. His parents brought a new awareness to their parenting, and that continued to serve them. It became a new measure of what they did or didn't make sense of in their lives. They no longer felt that James had to know everything they knew or care about everything that concerned them. In acknowledging and protecting that difference, they gave James the freedom to be more deeply and happily his own age. When you simplify a child's world, you prepare the way for the positive change and growth. This preparatory work was especially important now because our world is characterized by too much stuff. We're building our daily lives and our families on the four pillars of too much stuff, too many choices, too much information, and just too much speed. With this level of busyness, distraction, time pressure, and clutter, mental and physical, children are robbed of the time and ease they need to explore their worlds and their emerging selves. And since the pressures of too much are so universal, we are adjusting at the commensurate fast pace. The weirdness of too much begins to seem normal. If the waters we're swimming in continue to heat up and we simply adjust as it heats, how will we know how to hop out before it boils? You know, this story of James, just to comment on this, is really rather typical of the many, many families I've worked with over the years, and now the many families that our Simplicity Parenting coaches work with in so many different communities around the world. And it was really touching to see the changes in this family, and no matter how many families I've worked with over the years, to see these changes never ever fails to move me, because there is one family that's reclaimed their family life, and just one family makes everything worthwhile, doesn't it? And my hope is certainly in the reading of this book and the comments that we're making You can join with the countless numbers of families that have made these small changes, and particularly for James and his family, it gave him a life and a childhood that I've got to say I really doubt that he would have had if the parents hadn't so bravely made these changes. And it just never fails to impress me how brave, frankly, parents can be, because it takes a lot of courage to just pause, look at it, and say, you know what, something's up with this, something's not right, and we're going to make a small change to this and see how it goes. And you might have noticed in that story, James's parents actually made the changes for themselves first, with the screens and computers and their own conversations around him. They didn't really try and bring change, you know, asking much of James at all. They asked it of themselves. And that so often is the beginning point, even though, you know, personally one can't prescribe it, but it so very, very often is. So I hope that story is uplifting. We'll pick that up in the next reading of this chapter as well. Okay, bye-bye for now.